When news of the murder breaks, I'm in Matthews, buying chicken necks, so my little sister Renee and I can go crabbing. There isn't much in the way of food in the house, but we found $1.63 in change and decided free crabs would get us the most food for that money. Usually we use bacon rinds for bait, but we've eaten those already. I'm squatting down looking at the boxes of cupcakes on a bottom shelf when a woman steps over me to get to the register. Matthews is small and the shelves are crowded in. When Mama brought us with her to get food, Renee and me would have contests to see who could get from the front door to the grimy meat counter at the back in the fewest hops. I could do it in 7. She's a big fat woman with more of an equator than a waist. She steps heavy, all of her trembling as she does, and for a moment, I'm worried she's going to fall and squish me. She dumps a dozen cans of pork and beans on the belt and gets out her food stamps, then digs down the front of her stretched-out red shirt and pulls a wrinkled $10 bill out of her bra to pay for a pack of menthols.
"Hear what happened to Cable Bloxham?"
she asks the cashier. The cashier hasn't.
"They found him waist-deep in the mud in Mutton Hunk Creek. Had his face shot to pieces and all swole up with being in the water. His girlfriend had to identify him by the tattoo on his back."
The cashier's eyebrows jump up and her eyes get big. I keep rummaging among the cupcakes. The cashier can see me, but they'll probably keep talking anyway. Being 13 doesn't get me noticed any more than being 12 did. My necks are starting to drip blood and chicken ooze through their newspaper onto my leg.
"They know who done it?"
the cashier asks as she picks up the limp bill and unlocks the glass front tobacco case.
"Not yet. Police say they used a slug-loaded shotgun. They couldn't find no cartridges, though."
"That's a lot of help. Everyone around here has one of those," the cashier answers. And she's right. We've even got one, sitting next to the .22 by the porch door, in case deer show up in the yard.
"And that ain't even the half of it."
The lady leans in close, but her whisper is almost as loud as her talking voice.
"They done cut his thang clean off."
"Guess he won't be needing it anymore."
The cashier's face is lit up like Christmas as she bags the cans of pork and beans. Not much happens worth talking about on the shore. The woman waddles out with her cans, and I straighten up from the cupcakes and plop my soggy packet on the belt.
"You hear that, Chloe?"
the cashier asks me as she runs them through and dumps them in a reused plastic grocery bag from the food line up the highway. Matthews is the closest food store to home. It sits next to a taco van where the gravel turnoff makes a T with Route 13, halfway between the village of Parksley and the causeway to Chincoteague Island. It's also the cheapest food store I can get to, so all the cashiers know my name, even though I'm kind of fuzzy on all theirs.
"Couldn't help but hear it," I answer. "Sorry son of a bitch deserved it, though. Probably someone's daddy or husband decided that enough was enough."
I nod in agreement and count out my pennies and dimes, then take the plastic bag from her. I walk my bike down the graveled road a bit before pulling the packet of chocolate cupcakes out of the leg of my shorts. They taste sawdusty, and the frosting's like vanilla lard, but it's better than nothing. There are 2 in the packet, and I put the second one in my pocket for Renee and start biking the 3 miles home. It's not a bad ride if you avoid the dogs. Close to Matthews, there are single-story houses and trailers up on cinder blocks with cracked windows and mossy roofs. The sheds behind them could be tool sheds or could be meth labs. You can't tell until one blows up. But after the houses peter out, the road curves through cornfields, and you don't have to worry so much about seeing people. The road goes out to a creek, if you keep following it, in a dock and a cement slip for boats. But I turn off when I get to the farmhouse, the big place with the columns on the front where our landlords, the Lumsdens, live.
Kids at school say the Lumsdens do black magic, call down hurricanes, or dry up the sky, or make it rain chickens, which I don't believe. But I don't like to hang around near their house one way or another. Lily Lumsden is 2 grades ahead of me in school, and she's nice, but her older sister Sally already looks like a witch. Sometimes I run into her on the dock or out in the woods, staring at the sky like she's listening to something only she can hear.